Welcome to the Chris Saylor Show. I'm Jerry Price, and I am joined by Princeton women's lacrosse coach Chris Saylor. And coach, welcome back from Florida.
Thanks, Jerry.
So your team was down there for 4 days. You got a good win over a good Florida team. Just give us some general thoughts about how the trip was, other than just the outcome of the game.
Yeah, I think it's always good for the players to get away together, and to have, you know, some team bonding that goes along with travel. It was a really good trip for us. Obviously, the reason we went was to play Florida, and that went great. So it doesn't get better than that.
So the game itself, we'll talk about in a few minutes. But first, let's go back to the trip. The part before the game. What was your goal going down there? Get in some good practice time, get away from campus, get away from midterms that had ended, those kinds of things, and then how did that all turn out?
It turned out pretty well. I mean, a little bit recovery after midterms, so having that open weekend, I think, is always helpful for us. It just worked out that way in our schedule, but it was good.
Is that something you may intentionally try to do now, or is it just coincidence?
We had it last year. It was kind of coincidence, and we liked the way that worked for us. So, yeah, you can't say we'll always be that way moving forward, but that is our plan for next year as well. Also, we wanted to go down early to adapt to what we thought were going to be sunny and hot conditions, and I think we hit Florida in one of the coldest points of March.
It was funny because watching the game on the video stream, it looked like the Florida kids were shivering, and it was still 61 degrees at game time, wasn't it?
I think actually it was in the high 50s, and it felt a little colder. I think by the end of the game, it was probably 50 degrees. So it did get fairly cold, although we've come back to cold and rain, and it forecasts for like a 29 degree wind chill on Saturday. So we're going to think Florida was really beautiful and warm.
So in the days before the game, it was practice and team stuff, or was there other stuff involved?
Well, you know, the seniors are really busy this time of year with their theses, so they had a chance to get away from campus and really focus on that. You know, we did some a team activity, which was quite interesting. We created a Jeopardy round. We played a little Jeopardy, which got pretty hot and fiercely competed, I'd say, by the team.
What were the categories?
Okay, let's see if I can remember them all. One was teammates, so Karen Maurer had the team send some fun facts that she thought that no one would know about them. One was coaches. One was alumni of Princeton women's lacrosse. One was Princeton women's lacrosse history. One was...
I would have done well on that.
Yes, you would have done much better than our players. It really opened our eyes. We've got to do a lot more teaching in terms of that. We had a miscellaneous category.
Who won?
The team's divided into a group of families, and so we had two of the families together. Let's just say it. Like I said, they were not very pleased with whether we called, you know, who buzzed in first or second, and you know all of that. So it devolved pretty quickly, I'd say.
So you know, we had the podcast with Matt Madeline yesterday, and Coach Tierney will be here Tuesday night with Denver, and I was talking to him, and Saturday at halftime of their game, they're honoring the 1994 team, and I was talking to him about the history and how much of that is lost on current players or how important it is to current players. And, of course, the history of both lacrosse programs is one of a lot of national championships and a lot of successes and Ivy League titles and Final Fours and all that kind of stuff. Your team in the last few years has had much more postseason success than the men have had, but still the championships are, you know, for your team 1994 and then 2002 and 2003. What does it mean to current players on your team to have that kind of history in the program? And you mentioned you might want to do a better job of sharing that with them, but how important is that to kids these days?
I think that's really important. I think kids want to come to a program where there has been success. I think for the players of today's generation, they don't care about really what happened 20, 30 years ago. They really care about what happened in the last 2, 3, 4 years. So I think their focus is a lot more recent than what's happened decades ago. But I think just having a program that's known for a tradition of success at whatever level, at the national level, at the conference level, I think that's really important in recruiting.
So your team goes into the game in Florida. We can talk about the game a little bit, finally. And got off 2-0. Florida came back. It was close, back and forth. Gets to be 12-8 Princeton. Then all of a sudden it's 12-11 Princeton, Florida with some momentum. And then you end up winning the game 13-11. What are your major takeaways from the actual game itself?
Major takeaways is that, you know, we competed very hard against another tough and aggressive team. I mean, Florida has a couple of one midfielder, one attacker in particular, who are incredibly explosive. Lindsey Rombach might be the most explosive kid I've ever seen, at least recently. And you know, we were able to handle. They were speedy. They were tough. They were physical. And you know, we handled it all, which was really great to see.
Did you have any sense going into that game what to expect against a team you'd never played before?
Well, certainly we watched a lot of film on them, so you know, we knew where they were strong, and we knew it was going to be a very physical battle, and we tried to prepare the players for that mentally. But we really believe in our club, and we thought we'd come out ready to compete. We've been playing well, and so we were excited to see how the matchup would turn out.
Do they play similarly to what her teams at Yale were like?
Boy, that's going back. I mean, she has entirely different athletes down in Florida than she had at Yale. So I think that's a little hard to compare.
What do you think of the operation itself of Florida lacrosse? And
I mean, it is pretty incredible. Their facility is really phenomenal. It's beautiful brick, you know, all around, and they have a great video scoreboard, and just, you know, that they have a beautiful building for women's lacrosse, you know, out front, all the palm trees. And it's just a really, the Disney complex down there is just really, really nice.
So why is that D-I-Z anyway?
It's not the Disney that we all know. No connection to Mickey Mouse at all.
Okay. Let's talk about the game. I thought the biggest play of the game was the ground ball that Shannon Berry got after it was 12-11. Free position shot for, I don't remember, Kyla maybe?
I think it was Kyla, yeah.
Goalie makes a nice save, and looks like she has possession of the ball, and then Shannon Berry sticks with it, takes it away, maintains possession of it, and then nice feed to open Elizabeth George on the backside for 13-11 is basically the game.
Yeah, that was huge, because I believe we were man up at that time, and so if they had that ball, you know, that would have taken a lot of wind out of our sails, and so that was a huge ground ball. I mean, just...
It wasn't an easy one.
No, it was not an easy one, and there were numerous players on both teams going after it, but Shannon came up with it, was able to maintain that possession, and then we found George wide open on the crease, who showed a lot of composure, and that's something she's really been working on, to have that poise around the net. I think maybe even earlier this year, she would have taken it and fired it, and she showed composure, she took a second, she really read the keeper, and made the right shot.
So another big change in that game, last draw of the first half and then all the ones in the second half, was freshman Lillian Stout.
Yeah.
And she had three draw controls, and they're a good draw control team, so she did a pretty good job.
She did a really good job. For whatever reason, I think Georgie was having some trouble against their drawer, who's a little taller than she is, and so Karen's really been working with our draw kids, and you know, Lillian has done a great job, I think, both on the draw and just in general play. And so both Karen and I have been talking to her about getting potentially more playing time and just to be ready. We didn't know when it was going to come, but we wanted her to be ready to be a FOGO. We want her to be ready to be on the field as a midfielder. She did a great job. I mean, she controlled them to her teammates. She won some ground ball battles and, you know, had two or three people on her, but was able to carry the ball safely into the attack end. So she was a big difference for us.
Did you ever worry about tossing a freshman out there who hasn't played a lot into a big spot, or is it kind of fun to see what they can do?
Well, I think it was fun to see what they could do, and we really just needed a change at that point. We just needed to change it up a little bit, and we were eager to see what she could do, and she did well, so we kept going with it. She'll be a nice option for us moving forward if we need.
So some milestones that we didn't talk about last week because I didn't realize they had happened. The 100th career goal for Tess Yorsey and the 100th career point for Kyla Sears.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive for both of those kids.
And I apologize to them that I did not realize that they happened when they happened, but we're going to do a pregame announcement for them before the game on Saturday.
Fantastic. I mean, for Kyla to get 100 points, you said, early in her sophomore year. And Tess to have her 100th goal early in her junior year. Those are great accomplishments by two pretty talented kids.
And you mentioned Elizabeth George, who goes into the game on Saturday with 98 career goals. Mm-hmm. So another milestone coming.
Hopefully it'll come on Saturday.
So Saturday, it's Brown comes to Princeton. That's a noon start, and then the men play Yale at 3:00, so it's a doubleheader. Brown comes in. They have some good wins. They and of course coached by one of your former assistant coaches, which is always special, or has it been so many years now that it's just another thing?
Well, it's always, you know, the people who have worked with you, who've been your assistants, and Keely was here for 1 year in 2004, where we went all the way to the national championship game, although we did not win that year.
She was here for 1 year?
She was just here for 1 year, wow. And then her alma mater, Brown, opened up the position, and she was able to get that job, yeah. Oh.
I didn't realize that she was only here for 1 year. And off the top of my head, I should probably know this, but are there any other former assistants of yours that you've coached against?
I mean, the whole Penn State coaching staff.
Penn,
you got
also,
Missy,
yeah.
And you've got Altig, and you have Tara Rolick, all coach with me, and then you have Penn. Karen Brower, and this year we have Villanova on the schedule, coached by Julie Shaner.
Okay, so beyond the former assistant coach coming, Brown coming to Princeton, another Ivy League game, second chance to play in the Ivy League. They're 1-1 in the league. They've beaten Yale. They lost to Dartmouth. The quick turnaround after the flight home yesterday, it's already Thursday. Where does that leave you in terms of preparation for that game?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we'll have 2 days, which is pretty typical for us at this point in the year with a midweek game to have 2 days of prep. I think the travel always takes a little bit out of you. So, you know, today we'll be doing some prep, but probably not go quite as hard as legs are still recovering because, you know, Tuesday night was a really, really tough and hard fought game. And then tomorrow we'll actually ramp it up a little bit to get ready for Saturday.
One thing I noticed about Tuesday night's game, and this is, you know, this is where the world is these days, but, you know, the expectation is whatever the game, whatever the sport, you can watch it. So it's Princeton, Florida on a Tuesday night, and there's the game.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, because all these games are on now, it has made the demand for announcers, it's skyrocketed. You know, it used to be if you wanted to be an announcer, you had to be on a radio or TV, but now, like, there's so many games that are video streamed. And I was really surprised because I don't know who Florida's announcers were, but they were both very good, and one of them was a former player. I presume from Florida, but they were really good. It's really like, I really like when I stumble upon announcers that I think are pretty good, and they did a really good job. They weren't,
great.
You know, they weren't we Homer, mm-hmm. And you know, they had a good appreciation for your team and all that. What do you see from Brown? Or have you had a chance to look?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, Brown's a good team, and just knowing their roster and kind of who they have and who's playing well, I think they're going to do well in the Ivy League. I could see them really challenging for one of those top four spots to make the tournament. They've got Rosenthal, who's just really tough. I mean, she has come on so strong. She had a great year last year, and she's a phenomenal attacker, and we're going to have our hands full with her.
And then it's a busy week for Princeton lacrosse. You have the doubleheader Saturday. You have the return of Coach Tierney on Tuesday night. Are you going to be able to see him go to that game?
Oh, yeah, I'll go to that game for sure.
And then that could be his 400th win. He has 398
yeah, that's
now,
pretty cool.
And they play Towson
yeah.
Saturday. And then,
well, of course, I'll be rooting for Princeton.
I actually, I said to somebody at Denver, I said, I've never rooted against Bill Tierney before. I wonder what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday, your team has to go to Maryland. Mm-hmm. Is that an overnight trip or a day trip?
It's a day trip for us. So
that's another challenge. That you drive down there and get off the bus and play. But and
it'll be another late night.
And the team you're playing is a pretty good one.
Yeah, you could say that.
Your rivalry with Maryland goes way, way back. And haven't missed any years, I don't think, since it started. I think.
I think we've played them every year since we started playing them, probably since the Final Fours in the 90s, I think, are when we first started playing those.
And they're always good. This year's no exception. So what's that? I mean, that challenge sort of speaks for itself a bit.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously we're not looking forward to them. We've got Brown, which is going to be a big battle for us on Saturday, and we're excited whenever you get a chance to play one of the top teams in the country. It's a great chance to see how you can fare, and I know we have a lot of confidence at this point in the season, and we're excited to take on the Terps. We've had some really close games with them the last couple times we've played them at home. It's been one goal game, and both of those times we've played at home, we've been leading the whole game until the very end. So we're hoping we can go down there and play well and hopefully get the win.
And the challenge of getting off the bus and playing after that long of a ride? or that's not that big a deal?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the best, but you know, it's also not great to get down there the night before and sit around the hotel. And what are you going to do? I mean, that's a long day just to be sitting around the hotel. And so we'll give our kids a chance to go to class in the morning. We'll get on the bus around 1 or so and have plenty of time to get down there and stretch our legs, you know, have some food and get ready for the game.
Okay, so it's Saturday at noon against Brown. Men play Yale at 3. The men's game against Denver is 6 o'clock Tuesday. Your game at Maryland is 7?
Maryland is 7, yes.
So your game is at Maryland 7. We'll be back next Thursday to talk about all of that. One last thing before you go. Did your team get a chance to watch the Ivy League Women's Basketball Championship game on TV?
We did not because I think we had a late practice that day. So we were traveling up from Orlando to Gainesville, and we had a late practice that day. So we missed it, but we have our team is big fans of the women's basketball. So we were following, and, you know, as soon as we got on the bus, we found out what happened.
You're not going to be able to watch them play. Their game's basically the same time your game is on Saturday. Did you see what happened with their selection show?
What do you mean, did I see what happened?
You didn't hear what happened with the women's basketball selection show?
In terms of what seed they are? Was
no,
there
in
some...
terms of the show itself.
No, so I didn't.
The show was supposed to be 7 o'clock on Monday night, and ESPN inadvertently released the bracket on ESPNU at 3 in the afternoon.
No way.
And so, like, there's the bracket on ESPN at 3, and so everybody saw the bracket, and they moved the selection show from 7 to 5, and, you know, we were going to have a big watch party here, and it ended up not happening. And
well, you know, I wondered about that because I heard about the watch party, and I'm like, it doesn't look like they're right, at a watch party when I saw the video of them and Jab and Jim.
And it was like, you know, some of their players couldn't get back down here by 5 o'clock, and it was kind of a shame, but it was also, I don't know. It's interesting. Like, I can't imagine that's ever happened before, and I was sort of wondering what the conversations at ESPN were like after it happened. Of like,
really?
Was it my fault? It was his fault. No, it's her fault. I didn't do it. So anyway, if you missed that, it's Princeton, Kentucky in the women's basketball tournament. That's Saturday morning at 11. Princeton, Brown, Saturday at noon. Princeton, Maryland, Wednesday at 7. Coach Saylor, thanks for being with us, and welcome back from Florida.
Thanks, Jerry.
For Princeton women's lacrosse coach Chris Saylor, I'm Jerry Price. Thank you for being with us each Thursday here on the Chris Saylor Show, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton women's lacrosse.